You guys can go ahead and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 19 tonight. There's going to be some thumps on this microphone because I'm going to need both hands, so. You know, that's not going to work. I'll come back to Luke 19. I'm excited to be here. Man, what an awesome opportunity it is to be at the Peaks. And I'm going to trust you guys up front. If it looks like I'm running out of tether, somebody wave at me so I don't hurt myself or something, okay? I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and to address these men. You men. My faithful brothers. You know, it's an exciting thing to know that you also are experiencing the same accomplishments of suffering throughout the world. That's a great encouragement to me. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach this message tonight. I was really excited when I got the topic. It's one that I'm passionate about. So thanks, Mr. Wilson, for that. Luke 19, and after we read this, I'm going to ask Brother Kevin Simpson to come and pray for me. Luke 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Kevin, will you come down, please? Thanks, sir.
Welcome, brother. Let's go to our audience in heaven. Great God, Lord Jesus Christ, we are tremendously thankful to be here at this place this evening. So grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy in our land still to travel about, to congregate together, to be an encouragement one to the other, to hear messages that edify us and that ultimately equip us for the work of service. The purpose which Mike just spoke of in the verse that he's going to be preaching on tonight. Father, I thank you again for Christ in us, for every one of us that has that tremendous gift. I thank you for your servant, Mike Ferguson. I pray you would bless his message. I pray that we now would have our ears opened, be attentive, and give the proper attention to your word and the exhortation that will come forward from Brother Mike. And again, just pray, Father, that you would strengthen this, your servant, Mike Ferguson, deliver a great message that would tremendously encourage us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Kevin. Kevin's a big brother of mine in the faith, a guy that I look up to and admire and has been of tremendous help for me and growth. So thank you, Kevin, for honoring me with that. Seek and save the lost. So my first thought on this was, man, a real rah-rah, go, bunch of scriptures on this, but I thought it was really important to ask the question, why? Why did Jesus come to seek and save the lost? I want to talk about a few different things and get started on this. And no, I'm not going to have any guns, no bats, no axes. It's just me. I have no props, just me. And I apologize if you were expecting a bigger show than that. But I'm not. Don't have any of that. But I will tell you this. I have a story for you, and this is a true story, and it's going to relate to a vision. My kids were little. My son was probably maybe 4 years old, and it was January 1st in Billings, and we decided to go sledding as a family. And it was about 0 degrees outside, and the sledding hill, we lived up in the heights, the north part of Billings there, and the sledding hill, there was a spot where you parked, and then you would walk up the street and around. And then you would sled down the other side because it was kind of a V shape and it was pretty steep on this side. And in the bottom of it was a creek. The water was flowing. It was 0 degrees outside. So you can guess that that may not have been the cleanest water that would have been flowing in a residential area at zero outside. So I said, Amy, let's park here. And I'll sled down, and I'll get off my sled, and you just you and the kids come down and I'll catch you. And then we'll just walk up the other side instead of walking all the way around. What could possibly go wrong with such a well thought out plan? So I go down and I misjudged the grade a little bit. It was steeper than I thought. I was moving pretty fast when I bailed off my sled. And so I wave at Amy and she sends Luke down the hill to me. So now I can, being stationary, I can see how fast he is actually moving. And so, man, he is coming. And I'm a good dad. I'm going to try and do this and talk. So I'm, for us older people, I'm Johnny Bench, right? I'm in position to catch him. He takes me out completely, just levels me. So we get ourselves together, and I'm getting ready to, no, don't come. Just as I watch Amy with Beck in her lap push off. So here they come down the hill. My son was pretty little. The combined weight of my daughter and wife was greater than my son. They were coming faster yet. So I, at this point, I'm laughing because this is bad. So here they come. I'm still Johnny Bench, right? Until they get right there and I stepped out of the way. If any of you men find yourself in that position, don't step out of the way. So she goes shooting past me and makes eye contact. Yeah, the look. You know what I'm talking about. And so that little creek right there at the bottom just happened to divide with a little island in the middle of it. So she goes shooting past me, crosses over that first little divide in the creek. The sled turns sideways and dumps my wife right in the water. I had a vision in my mind of what was going to happen. We set out with a purpose and we started on a mission. It didn't work how I had planned. But that's really what I want to talk about this tonight. When we talk about Jesus came to seek and save the lost, man, there was a vision that it started with, wasn't there? You know, Jesus didn't come to seek and save the lost because he was bored. You know, he's just tooling around heaven like, yeah, what should I do today? Oh, let's seek and save the lost. Man, there was a vision that was there. I want to share that vision with you here in a minute. That vision is a picture of where you're going. Something to help keep you on the course so you can see. But along with that is a purpose. That purpose is what guides you. You know, is what I'm doing, does it match up with the vision? And then there's the mission. That's action. That is what drives you to action, makes you work. Thinking about vision for a second. You know, I've thought about this a lot. I'm in a position of management in the company I work with. And there's a lot of people that work in my company. And you know what I've discovered that separates people? Those that lead, those that do, and those that don't lead. Doesn't have anything to do with ability. Doesn't have anything to do with desire. It has to do with vision. What do they see? How about in the church? What do we see? I appreciated Jerry's message this morning, and we're going to talk about some of the same things that he brought up. Jesus is working to lift up our eyes. What's our vision? What do we see? Now, one of the things that I had the opportunity this year to do at work was some management training. We went through the 7 Habits of Successful People by Stephen Covey. And habit number 2 is begin with the end in mind. See, there was a vision that Jesus had to have in front of him that he had to set. We're going to talk about how we're partakers in that vision tonight as well. A vision. Jesus had something in his mind and wanted to see it. Go ahead and turn to Revelation 21. It's really calm up here. Can we do that other mic? Okay. Is that good? That's going to make it tremendously easier on me, so thank you. Revelation 21. We're going to start reading verse 22. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gate shall never be closed. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's vision. This is what Jesus was looking forward to. Man, that church, being on the throne, given the name above all names, and having the church, the kingdom of God. You know, what's a kingdom? Or I'm sorry, what's a king without a kingdom? Man, he was looking forward to that kingdom. There was a vision that was there. That's why Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came about when the days were approaching for his ascension that he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, Jerry talked to us this morning about, man, raising up. Jesus working on raising up. Look at where Jesus' focus was. Resolutely set his face. That vision was what was on his mind. That was where he was going. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him, that vision is what drove him through the cross. That picture that he was continually focused on. Always in front of him, what he saw. The throne and the throng. Not just a king, but a king and the kingdom. The church, his bride. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. This was read earlier today also. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. Brother Steve Compton this morning talked about working on the kingdom of God in other congregations. And man, that is one of those things. A conversation sparked that in my mind. The kingdom of God. Man, how important is it that that's what we're focused on and looking on? Look at the purpose that Jesus came to do what? Preach the kingdom of God. Preach the kingdom of God. This is about the church. His kingdom. That purpose driving him on his mind. Where his thoughts were continually. What he was working on. What he was here for. For the purpose of preaching the kingdom. Now you think about his interaction with the apostles. Matthew chapter 16, when he's talking and Peter makes that good confession, you know, and he tells them, on this rock I will build my church. That is a purpose, to build his kingdom. That is why he came. Build that kingdom. We're going to talk later about our responsibility for that too. Brothers and sisters, I'm sorry. Man, you just get used to these preach all the time, right? Brothers, it's about the kingdom. We are here for the kingdom. The message is about the kingdom. We can't miss that. Oh, Mr. Wilson said something earlier about him being my uncle. Oh, if you know me well enough, you know that my family is the church. It is. You know, when I look at the people in my life that mean the most to me, most of them have no physical blood relationship with me. But the blood relationship that we share is the blood of Jesus Christ, our King. That's the real blood relationship, the kingdom, the church. What an important purpose that is. You know, after Jesus was resurrected and he appeared to those guys for over 40 days, he's getting ready to ascend out of there. In Acts chapter 1, you know what he's talking to them about? Things concerning the kingdom of God. We know that because the apostles turn around and ask him, hey, now the Romans are gone, we're going to kick them out of here. Man, he was talking about the kingdom. It was on his mind. That was the purpose he came to build, that kingdom. Important purpose. The mission. Let's go back to Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 10, our text verse here. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. That was his mission. The mission. Take a look. Read through the scriptures. You want to know one of the most interesting things you see about Jesus? More than anything, you know what you see him doing? Talking to people. And he was engaged with the people that are around him. Oh, I'm not going to hit this one in particular tonight, but man, read through the woman at the well. He wasn't minding his own business, was he? Man, he struck up a conversation with her. Man, did that lead to some stuff? You bet. Where'd that end up? Her going back into town and saying, you got to come check this dude out. The mission. Man, he knew, hey, I am here to seek and save the lost. And am I going to be able to do that if I'm not talking to anybody? No way. That doesn't make any sense, does it? That's the mission. Came to seek and save that which was lost. We're going to start reading in verse 1 of Luke 19. It says, and he entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. And he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the context for this verse, Zacchaeus. Oh, a little dude. Oh, you think that Zacchaeus might have possessed little man syndrome? He had a job that gave him some power over people, didn't it? Tax collector. Those guys could make a little extra if they could figure out how to do it. He was rich. What do you think he had done? Figured some of that stuff out. And Zacchaeus, how'd that interaction start? Jesus talked to him. The first step in seeking and saving the lost is going to be for us to open our mouth just like Jesus did. That's how we engaged him. my friend Clayton is here with us, brother in Christ. And he had opportunity to get a picture with the presidential limos as they were going through Fargo behind him, you know, on the road behind him. You realize if Jesus hadn't talked to Zacchaeus, that would have been the same interaction. Zacchaeus climbs up in that tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. What changed? Jesus talked to him, spoke to him. Zacchaeus, come down. You want to know something else that's kind of interesting here? Jesus is kind of hanging out with a bad element, isn't he? Man, they're grumbling. What are you going to that sinner's house for? Have you ever stopped to think what a lot of the apostles and disciples and followers of Jesus were? Let's think about this for a second. They were educated and they were uneducated, right? Man, you had fishermen. You had murderers. You had doctors, thieves, tax collectors. Those were some of the people that were closest to Jesus. Did you think about that? You think about the religious guys that were there. What was their response to Jesus? What was it? They wanted him dead, right? Hey, this guy is coming in to upset the whole apple cart. I'm just telling you, folks, I really believe that our opportunity is going to be a whole lot more with the tax collectors and the sinners than it is going to be the people that are in pews in other denominations. Who should have been closest to Jesus? The priests, the prophets, the scribes, the Pharisees, those ones that should have been waiting for him. How was the success rate there? Not so great, was it? You guys remember the priest that was, or the apostle that was always also a priest, right? Yeah, there wasn't one. But there was an apostle who was a convicted murderer, a murderer, right? By his own admission, right? Paul. Man, who's going to get the job done? See, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And you know how he did it? By his words. That determined who was going to listen. Are lost people hard to find? No, they're everywhere, right? And you don't even have to look around. Man, in a while, one is probably going to drive behind us in a boat. It's possible. It's happened several times already today. They're not hard to find. We're in an isolated place, and they're around us. So is it about finding lost or finding those people who are interested and looking? Where was Zacchaeus? He was in the tree. Why? Because he wanted to see Jesus. What made the difference for Zacchaeus? Jesus' words, talking to him, seeking and saving the lost. That's what Jesus came to do. And you know what it is going to require? Talking to people. Man, we got to be willing to get out of our comfort zones and talk to people. I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, there was another verse that was read earlier today, and I think about it from a little different context. You know, Luke 15 talks about all kinds of things that were lost. Lost sheep, lost coins. The whole last part of the chapter is the prodigal son. You know what made the difference for the prodigal son? Scripture says this. He came to his senses. We got to help people to see. Those that are looking. So they can come to their senses. And become part of this kingdom. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. One more point on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. The kingdom of God is going to look a lot more like the makeup of the apostles and the disciples than it is going to be the scribes and the Pharisees. Such were some of you. Remember, the scripture says this: he who is forgiven much loves much. Man, we got to be looking in the right spot. And the words of Jesus are the ones that are going to bring them out. Seeking and saving the lost. Ephesians chapter 2. If you'll turn there with me, please. Ephesians 2, verse 4, says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly places. You know what Jesus has done for us? Given us vision. Man, we get a view from the throne like Jesus had. Seated with him in those heavenly places. The picture. The vision. Something for us to focus on and look forward to. Are we thinking about heaven? Are we thinking about the kingdom of God? Is that what is consuming our thoughts like it did with Jesus? Where's our mindset? What's our picture? What do we focus on? What compels us? Drives us on? That vision? Is that what we see? Oh, it needs to be there. Jesus didn't raise us up and seat us with him in the heavenly places just for his benefit. That's for ours too. Man, it changes our whole picture. Changes our whole world. Our whole paradigm should change. We are not of the earth. Doesn't Jesus say that also? My kingdom is not of this earth. You know, when he's before Pilate, otherwise my servants would be fighting. Man, looking forward to where? His kingdom in heaven. Who's he talking about? The church. That kingdom, that vision should be in our minds too. Now there's a day when we receive that perfection of the body and faith becomes sight. Man, and 100% there. No more struggle in this life. But we are seated there. That vision is ours. You know, that scripture was brought up earlier today out of Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, that our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await a Savior. Our citizenship is in heaven, where we are awaiting for that Savior. That is the position that we're in heaven with him. Why? So we get the picture. So we have the vision of the kingdom of God. We share that same purpose. Also in Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Made for good works. That's what we're created for. You know, we have a purpose also. You know, I work in the diesel industry. And I can tell you this, that everything that's on that truck or on that frack unit, on that workover rig, has a purpose. It was made for a purpose. They didn't create a bunch of stuff on there and just bolt it on because it looks cool. That was made for a purpose. Same for us. Created for a purpose. What do you think that purpose is? Think our purpose is to build God's kingdom also? Continue on in Ephesians 2, verse 19. It says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole temple being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into the dwelling of God the Spirit." We actively participate in that, but we are being built up into his kingdom. That's what it's about. That's our purpose. Now, there's a question that gets asked in colleges all over. Why are we here? You know why you're here? Build the kingdom of God. Why are we on this mountain today? Better be to build the kingdom of God. That's what matters. There's all kinds of things that happen in this world. And there are men that build great kingdoms for themselves. And they get left to another. Or get destroyed, taken apart. But this kingdom that we get to take a part in building, God's kingdom, man, that thing is eternal, lasts forever. A manly thing to do is to be able to leave a legacy, an inheritance for your children. What better legacy is there than this? Let's build something that really matters. The kingdom of God. What a purpose that is. As brought up earlier today, I won't go through that again. What did John come preaching? Kingdom. What did Jesus come preaching? Kingdom. What did the apostles preach? Kingdom. What are we to preach? The kingdom. I'll hit one. Acts chapter 8. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were being immersed, men and women alike. Preaching about the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. Is that good news? The kingdom of God, good news? Man, I'm telling you right now. Economically, there's some good things in the United States. Okay? How long does that last? You know? The history of the world is what? Nations rise and nations fall. You take a look at the time that this has happened in the scripture. The world power is the Romans. Anybody scared of Rome today? No way. Man, they were it, right? The Roman army. Completely insignificant today, aren't they? No? How many kingdoms have risen and fallen? How many men have done great things that turn to dust? That mean absolutely nothing. Practical example. When I was a young guy, you could get your film developed in 1 hour. You could. A 1 hour photo booth. You tell me the last time you saw Kodak on anything. They were a huge company. General Electric company. Just got booted off the S&P or whatever it was, Dow. Got downgraded. General Electric. What? Whoa. They've been on there for what, 112 years? Let's build something real. Something that's going to last. Something that matters for eternity. What a legacy we can leave. The kingdom of God. Real legacy. Good news about it. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18. Familiar verses. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Our job. All authority, right? We established that earlier today in the messages. Jesus Christ has all authority. And what he'd say, "I'm giving it to you. Go make disciples." It is our job to seek and save the lost. Nobody else's. Man, you go take a look at when they're rebuilding the temple. Man, those guys would have come in and helped. What does the scripture say? We have nothing in common with you in building a house to our God. It is on us. It is our job, our responsibility. And just in case you don't think this is about you, who else is it about? The authority by Jesus Christ, He has given us this responsibility. Seek and save that which is lost. Go make disciples. How are we going to do it? We're going to have to start by opening our mouth. Do you realize that the same thing that Jesus used, His words, are the same thing that we're going to use, His words? The words of Jesus. We're going to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what this is about. I like a good war movie. And oftentimes, when my wife is out of town or something, I get to watch one of those good war movies. And there's a particular favorite of mine. It's called We Were Soldiers. And it's a depiction of the battle in the I Drang Valley in Vietnam. And it's based on real events. The people that are depicted in that movie are real people. Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore, Sergeant Major Plumley, and Joey Galloway are three of the main characters in that movie. That's their actual names, not the actors. And they're in the middle of the fight, and they're being overrun by the Viet Cong Army. And Joey Galloway is a reporter. And it is bad. The firefight is right on top of them, right amongst their camp. The lines are gone between them. The enemy is dispersed among them. Sergeant Major Plumley hands Joey Galloway an M16. And Joey Galloway says, "I'm a non-combatant." Sergeant Major Plumley says, "Today there's no such thing." There's no such thing as non-combatants in the kingdom of God. You are fighting for God or you're fighting against Him. It is our job to seek and save the lost. In case you're wondering, this is the rah-rah part I talked about earlier. Let's go! There are no such thing as non-combatants. It is our job to seek and save the lost. If a guy can do that for a piece of dirt in a valley around the world, why can't we do it for the eternal kingdom of God? And we're not going to pick up M16s. We're going to pick up a sword. The words of Jesus Christ. We're going to do the same thing He did. You know what we're going to come preaching? The kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God. You don't think people want to belong to something? Look around. Man, there are clubs for everything under the sun. They're missing one. The one that's about the sun. That's the real one. The family, the church, the bride, the kingdom of God. That is why we seek and save the lost. First Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 19. The Apostle Paul, the same one who says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ Jesus," says this: "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker in it." Man. The Apostle Paul, he's just saying this, right? Anybody read the list of what the Apostle Paul went through in his life recorded for us in 2 Corinthians 12? I've thought about that, you know? That beating, receiving from the Jews 39 lashes. You know the one that gets me? That spending a day and a night in the deep. I don't like the water. Yeah. All that stuff continues to go on, man. Dangers from countrymen, dangers from robbers. Man, he gets stoned, left for dead, gets up, goes back in the city. And what's he do? Opens his mouth, doesn't he? Keeps talking, keeps preaching the good news about the kingdom of God. Anybody think they got it tough today? No one has ever hauled me out of the city and stoned me with rocks to the point that they thought I was dead. And then I got up and went back in the city. Man, I hope you guys are as humbled by that stuff as I am when I read it. Man, that Apostle Paul, I can't wait to meet that dude, man. What a tough guy. What a tremendous focus. You think he bought into the vision? You think the Apostle Paul had his mind and eyes clearly fixed on the kingdom of God? There's no way he would have done what he did if he didn't. No way. You think Jesus would have endured the cross if he hadn't resolutely set his face on New Jerusalem? Amen. On the kingdom of God? You know, another one of those movies, The Passion of the Christ. I like some of those things because it brings things to mind. But one of the things that bothered me in that movie is when Jesus is going to the cross, it shows his flashbacks and he's thinking about building furniture with his mom. Come on. Nobody goes through the cross thinking about building furniture with their mom. Nothing against his mom. She's a great lady, right? Man, chosen by God. What was Jesus focused on? The throne and the throng. The joy set before him. The kingdom of God as king. That is what is in front of him. That is the picture, the vision that he had. That is why Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. The only way the kingdom gets built is by seeking and saving that which was lost. It's our job. There's a lot of excuses to not do it. Now maybe you're not so good at talking. Anybody remember a guy by the name of Moses? You might have heard of him, right? Remember when he tried to tell God he wasn't too good at putting together words? Remember what God told him? Who made your mouth? Did somebody else make any of your mouths beside God? Are the words the same that Jesus spoke that are going to come out of your mouth? Man, this is it, guys. Yeah, I'm being tough. It is our job. Mr. Wilson, how many peaks did you say? 47? 47 peaks. It's our job. How many family camps? About the same number. 44 family camps. Our job. If we're not going to do it, who is? This is our job to build his kingdom. You were not made. I was not made a new creature in Christ to do nothing. I wasn't given the glory of the Son of God, the power of the Spirit to dwell inside me, to shut my mouth. It is the opposite. Now, Kirk got up this morning and talked about not being ashamed of the gospel. Our job to seek and save the lost. And it won't happen unless we talk about it. Man, you got to be ready to make that defense. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19. Verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. these are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. Is he talking to the physical nation of Israel here? Could they be a kingdom of priests by definition? No way. That's not what he's talking about, is it? Revelation chapter 1, also in verse 6. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. When Jesus was 12 years old, and he stayed behind in Jerusalem, remember what he told his mom, his parents, when they found him? Did you not know that I would be about my Father's business? Shouldn't we be about kingdom business? What's the kingdom business? Building the kingdom. Seeking and saving the lost. One living stone at a time. That's our job. That's the mission. There are no non-combatants. It is every one of ours responsibility to build that kingdom. To open our mouth. To talk about the king's business. Talk about his kingdom. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. He who is wise wins souls. It's our mission, brothers. Seek and save the lost. It's a noble mission. It's worth our time. See, one of the other things that we get to do by seeking and saving the lost, you know what we get to do? Hasten the coming of the day of the Lord. Build that kingdom. We get to bring it about. What an exciting thing. Do you realize every living stone is that much closer to the coming of the day of the Lord? I appreciate Brother Mike Wojciechowski. Somebody gets immersed, you know what he does? He looks into the sky. You know what he's waiting for? Is that thing rolling back? You know what that is? That's faith. Is this the last one, Lord? Is this the living stone that has been waiting to be placed in the temple so the kingdom can be complete? For the fullness of time. Man, what an exciting picture that is. You got an impact on me, brother. I did. July 4th when Clayton was immersed. You know what I was doing? One hand on Clayton, one eye up at the sky. Man, let's roll this thing back. Let's get her done. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. His mission. We're here to do what? Seek and save the lost. One last scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, there's going to be two last scriptures. This will be the first one before the last one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith and truth. And it was for this. He called you through our gospel that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to make that punctuation point on there. It is by the words of Jesus that we're going to get this done. That's how we're going to seek and save the lost. You want to know how God calls people? By his word, by his gospel. Who's listening? What are we looking for? We're looking for Zacchaeus, aren't we? Someone who's looking for Jesus as we're seeking and saving the lost. Because the lost aren't hard to find. But we need to find those that are looking, that want to see Jesus, just like Zacchaeus. Philippians chapter 1. And this one we're going to close with. Verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Brothers, thank you for your participation in the gospel. This message is one that was meant to encourage, but to push. It's our job. Each one of us, if we engage in seeking and saving the lost, we'll get her done. If we wait for somebody else, all we do is delay it. Push it back. Get the picture. Have the vision. Build the kingdom. Thank you.